back to the Hooligan's Pitch, episode 90. Right at the end of the year. Last one of the year.
Happy 2024. Let's go 2025.
2024 is in the bag, basically. It's over. Yeah, and you know what a better way to do it than have like two match days to go over, kind of.
My goodness, a lot of footy in the last week that I got to soak it all in.
I mean, it's great. It's like I watch it, take a day off, and it seems like it's right back on. So nice to always have something to look forward to in the morning and afternoons. And
yep,
a lot of drama, I think, over these games. So
drama, goals. Lots happening.
Yeah. Spicy stuff. But before we get into all that, we need a nice cold bevy to wash it all down.
Yeah, pop it open now.
Jimmy put me on it.
Is it the
Hard Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I thought it. Hard? It's not. Wait. Hard Mountain Dew? Oh, so we all said seltzer. That's what you meant.
Well, yeah, it's essentially a hard seltzer, but all Mountain Dew flavors.
Okay, so okay.
It's pretty good. There's like one, I think it's like a peach flavor or something. It was like, oh no, watermelon. It was way too sweet for me. But the others are pretty nice and light, but sweet. You know?
Shouting out Uncle Rob. That might be the weirdest drink you see on this podcast. just saying. If it tastes good,
your horizons.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Chad, I got a good one here. Got a good one going into 2025. Found out my international pub gives you beers to go. So I said, yeah, I'll take one of those. So do a little Carlsberg tonight. A little throwback to Liverpool's old sponsor. Haven't had one of these in quite a while. So felt due.
Well, I think it's deserved, considering Liverpool's top of the table at year end here. So,
did you get any fun Arsenal trinkets for Christmas?
No, actually, I kind of just always throw the blanket like Arsenal or Sac Republic, anything out there. Nothing really though, and I look through all the Arsenal stuff because they just have so much to choose from and. Nothing really jumped out either, so I was like, "Well, that's okay."
I'm sure Secret Santa might, something might pop up.
It could. It's always an option. So. Yeah.
Well, I got two things.
Okay.
First off, I saw this and I said, "Oh man, this is awesome!" And Kristen found this one for me, so super pumped.
Is it a biography thing or?
It is a celebration of Klopp, and almost every person that has ever been around Klopp wrote a little snippet about him, from Martin Skrtel to Arteta to Pep to everyone. It's quite a big, it's almost like a big picture book. There is a lot of reading involved, but from what I've gone through, it's pretty awesome. Great highlights, great moments. I'm going to actually do a big deep dive in there eventually.
Yeah.
But really cool book. And then, of course, you know, we had to do it.
Oh! Saw a slide.
It was time. We glazed too hard. It had to be done. So.
Yep.
Oh, whew, got my kit for this year. The only one I like, but hey, it's a good one.
It's fair. There's up and down years in the kit designs, you know. So.
And here we go, Chad. Match day 19. You happy?
18 and 19.
That's true. I think we're happy.
At this moment in time, I'm happy. We'll see after the Brentford game if I'm happier.
Look.
But, it's okay right now. I'm good.
You're sitting top three.
Yeah.
With arguably one of the best Liverpool teams we've seen in the last decade. Yeah, I'm calling it that way just because of what we've had to go through in the last 6 to 7 years. We can now argue this is the best form of Salah we've seen, which is crazy. Even better than the 2020 version. This dude is just on a straight mission. He's breaking so many records. The things that I'm listening to post-game interviews and what they're telling him, they're almost laughing about it at this point because it's just so ridiculous.
Just another, you know, great game from you. Another goal assist. Another this.
This is the crazy stat from this weekend is he's the only player with a goal and an assist in 8 games in the Premier League. That was pretty shocking to me that no player's ever done that before. Someone had seven. It was probably Henry if I had to go back and look, but he has eight, and I feel like that number is going to continue to grow.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like he, a little bit last season, and I guess going into this season, I felt like he was transitioning to like that late Messi's stage role where it's more like create, provide assists. And then this season, he's like, nah, I want to score again some more, and just like does it all now, and it's fine. And he you know, it's, if you're going to bet on him, like it's the safest bet you can make right now to get a goal or an assist or both.
That's crazy. It's unbelievable what he's doing. But now it's like, you know, Liverpool this week scored 14 goals or something like, I think it was 14 since the 22nd. And everyone's doing it. It's not just Mo doing it. Everyone on our front three is scoring. We're seeing Virgil do cut-ins at the 18 while we got Luis Diaz playing center back taking the ball up. It's crazy. It's a crazy team right now, and it's so fun to watch. So yeah, that's my bright way to end 2024. Pleasure watching them. It's been a good break, and hopefully we can continue with a Man United stomping going into next week. But I must say, we did this last year. We went into the Man U game, and I believe we drew, thinking we would go in there and just light them up, and it didn't happen. Different times, different seasons.
I was going to say.
We could talk about what Man U's doing now versus then, but, you know, we can't get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. You know, you got to enjoy how they've been playing and, you know, being top of the table at this point in time. Like, it's great. It's been fun. It's, you know, what you want your team to do. But I think enough fans have been around their team long enough to, you know, not get too far ahead of themselves, even though you do have a good, you know, break in points and a game in hand and, you know, performances are there. So it's feasible. This could, you know, be how the table ends. Liverpool top, Forest second, Arsenal third, you know, it could be this way. But yeah, I think, you know, for Arsenal side, it's not been the smoothest first half of the season, I'd say, but you know, things are picking up. Of course, I'm sure we'll talk more on it, but you know, losing Saka for a few months now is going to hurt. But I think I'm trying to take the positive spin on it, and it'll force Arteta and the team to find a way to play and create without Saka, because so much of it is just like things are going bad, get the ball to Saka, let him try and do something. So, which is great, but I think it'll be good if they can figure out a way to not have to always rely on him and, you know, get Martinelli back up to speed. And, you know, if Jesus wants to keep his form going, cool, bring it on. You know, I'd like to see Odegaard get in the goal scoring area a little bit more. He's not as involved, you know, in shots and goals as we've seen him in past seasons. So
do you think he's a little scared of getting injured again? Because it seems like he would put his body into players a little bit more when he's taking them on. It sounds like, at least it looks like now, he's a little bit more likely to get the ball and kind of look at the space and then dish it off.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. And I think a few of the times he has been tackled, he seems to react like more negatively to it than I guess he would in the past. He seems to always kind of stay down and want the trainer to come out and check. So I think he is probably not like a mental block, but just a little like PTSD, I guess, of like that injury. And, you know, it kept him on the sidelines for a while. So hopefully, you know, over this period and, you know, taking a few tackles and he'll kind of get his confidence back. 'Cause he's good at creating and finding that space, but when he can do that while also kind of driving forward into the box, like that's when he's just a really big threat, because then he's left open, you know, finds a ball at the top and can generally slot it in pretty easy.
I mean, one goal at this point of the season for him seems odd. You know, how many times have we seen him get into the box and find a way to score over the years? It's I don't know, shades of himself, right? I mean, last year, not as many goals in the Premier League, I think, is what we wanted. Eight pretty solid, but the year prior was 15. It's like, how do we get back to that number?
Yeah, I mean, some of that will come down to, I think, just how Arteta's wanting to play, of just a lot more kind of slow control rather than the, you know, guns blazing, everyone on attack full time, which is great, really fun to watch. But then we kind of saw the effects of that later on in the season as it kind of fell apart and, you know, people get tired and all that. So I don't know if we'll get back to the 15-goal Odegaard, but certainly needs more than just one goal right now. I like to see him at least at like a 4 or 5 range.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you didn't have him for a little bit there, but I agree with you. It's, you know, Saka and Mo Salah were so similar in the way they play, the way they have players gravitate towards them. And it felt like with Mo and Slot in this new combination, it was like, yes, he's getting older. Other players need to step up. It's almost, you're right, a perfect opportunity for other players to now step up, you know, next man in type scenario.
Yeah.
Jesus did that right away. And I think other players need to do that as well, because you can't expect Jesus to score 5 goals in a week, you know, week in, week out. That's not going to happen.
If he wants to, though, please do.
Yeah, don't hesitate. But I think we need to see, you need to see more of Martinelli, the Trossards, the Odegaards, even Declan. Declan isn't even scoring that much. He hasn't had the opportunities really to push into, you know, that final third, which he did last season, felt like a ton. Felt like, how many game winners did that man have outside the 18? Felt like 2 or 3, I feel like I can just name off the top of my head. I get it, different play style, conservative energy this year. You're in Champions League, it's different. But you need, goals got to come from somewhere, and Havertz is top right now with 7, and then it's Saka, and then it's kind of a drop off with your center backs really doing a good amount of the work there too. So who's next?
I don't know. I think it'll be an interesting period to watch. Like, you know, Saka has played pretty much every minute he's been available, whether he's 100% fit or not. He was out there as long as he could, like, physically be out there, it seems like. So it'll be, you know, more nerve-wracking to watch, I think, in the first few games as the team kind of figures out how they want to approach this and play, and who's going to step up. But I'm trying to just keep the positive frame on it of, like, in the end, this will all be, you know, better for the team and, you know, probably even better for Saka. Might, you know, when he comes back into the team, might be able to give him a little bit more space, because now, you know, opposing teams have to respect, you know, Martinelli or Odegaard or whoever it might be that was picking up some pieces while he was away. So, you know, fingers crossed it goes well. Probably the one of the worst injuries that in the team that we could have, but you know, that's football. It happens, and gotta get through it.
What exactly did he do?
So from what I'm understanding, it was like a hamstring tear, I think. So he had the surgery on it already, and then, I mean, everyone's, you know, there's no official timeline on him publicly, but from all the, you know, Reddit doctors and, you know, whatever articles, sounds like he'll be back earliest March, but most people would assume April. Mm-hmm. So people are kind of saying it's, you know, maybe out for the rest of the season, just like by the time he gets back up to speed, you know, it's kind of a handful of games left. So then he may not even play a full 90, but just make a couple appearances here or there. Which if that's the case, like, it sucks, but you know, that's just how it goes. And I think there's enough talent into this team that you gotta find a way to fill some holes here. And you know, Saka's a big hole to fill, but you know, luckily this happened right before the January window, so hopefully they're you know, kind of taking stock of what he might be able to do when he comes back, and you know, other areas on the pitch that could need help, and find someone to bring in just to spice it up a little bit if they feel like that's needed.
That's funny, because Liverpool just lost Joe Gomez, and we're having to go to Kwanzaa now at center back to a hamstring injury. So winter transfer window coming in. Any players you have in mind now? Because now you don't have Sterling either. I mean, he's gone too.
yeah. So, you know, perfect storm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That Sterling was, you know, his few performances haven't been electric, but it was at least a backup for Saka, right? Mm-hmm. So that would have been nice. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how willing they're going to be to, you know, sign someone in Saka's position. I think if they were going to sign an attacker, it would be more towards the like proper striker mold. Just because, yeah, you know, Martinelli could play right wing. Jesus can play right wing. We even saw Trossard there. Like, there's enough variation, I think, up there that you don't exactly need to go out and spend money on a right wing right now. I don't know. It's every article of like, who should each team sign in the winter window? And like all of them for Arsenal just say a striker, which like, fair enough. You know, I think Kai is doing well. Jesus, you know, in the past week or two is doing well. But, you know, they're just not the striker mold, right, that everyone is expecting to see in a team. And I don't know. I think it's going to be like a specific build that Arsenal needs, like, because whoever's playing that striker role is kind of doing a lot more for the team too, rather than just sitting up top like a, you know, Haaland would do right now, where he just kind of sits up top, waits for the ball.
Right.
It's not really how Arsenal play. So I don't know if they'll actually do anything with that, but I don't really have any like names in mind and that could come in and just like immediately help without it being someone that you got to throw like stupid money at to get there. And I don't think Arsenal's going to do that, but
I feel like someone who could be interesting for Arsenal is one of the few strikers that Fulham has, because Fulham seems to have a B-minus striker that they seem to throw in and it works every now and then, like a Muniz or Jimenez. I feel like one of those guys could be interesting for Arsenal, because it's not someone that you'd expect to necessarily carry. But
yeah,
those guys really haven't been on no disrespect to Fulham this year, but they really haven't been on an A team, right?
Yeah.
The Fulhams, Jimenez with the Wolves, like, they haven't had guys top-notch next to them. I think those would be interesting fits. If Fulham would be willing to do it, because they are so, I don't know, hit or miss on who's going to be up there. Jimenez is 33 and he's leading the team in goals, but Muniz we've seen last year really pop off, and I feel like he's barely seen the pitch. Only 5 starts this year for him.
Yeah, he's definitely struggled to get out there. I don't know if he's been dealing with injury or just you know, not clicking with the team right now or something, but the one name I have seen thrown around as far as strikers, I mean, beyond your, you know, spend 150 million, just get Isaac or get Victor Gyökeres or whatever his name is. People are saying, huh?
Is it Mateta?
No. people are saying that Arsenal are showing interest and have had interest in Cunha from Wolves.
He's hot.
That's my thinking, is that it's more just like he's gone on like a hot patch right now and has been playing well. Yes. Again, I don't know that Wolves would necessarily want to lose anyone at this point. Like, you're still fighting to survive. So I think you want to hold on to all your strong pieces at the moment, but I don't know that Cunha is really the answer anyway. Like, I think he is showing a lot of promise, but I don't remember hearing or seeing too much about him in you know, last season. So I don't know. We'll see. It's winter windows are always weird, sometimes flat, sometimes fun and exciting. So this year, though, I feel like a lot of teams could maybe dip into the market a little bit and try and do something. So
Cunha would be interesting. I think he's one of the first Brazilian or one of the latest Brazilian players to reach 10 goals in the Premier League, joining like a couple others, like Coutinho, Martinelli was up there. There aren't too many Brazilian goal scorers in the Premier League. So and his are coming in like the last couple games here. Like, he's gotten really, really hot. So I don't know. I don't think the Wolves are going to let him go easily, though, considering where they are and how good he has been playing. Yeah, that might be a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. we'll see.
I will say I was very surprised to see Saka get injured and then see him being out for, I think the first report was maybe a couple weeks, and then Saka getting out of surgery. And I was like, what the hell? I was like,
yeah,
that was the fastest transition I've ever seen.
Yeah, because yeah, I think it came out that like, oh, it's not as bad as feared. Yeah, it'll be, mm-hmm. you know, 6 to 8 weeks or something. And then all of a sudden, the yeah, next day, it's like, all right, he's out of surgery. See him in April. Yeah, so.
Well, I was going to put him on my IR, but now he's
no, gonna, no, I think cut. At this point, yeah.
It's going to take too long.
Yeah, for sure.
Chad Forrest is here.
Forrest is here.
This is crazy.
Somehow, some way.
just straight to the point, clean sheets, score a goal, mm-hmm. lock them down. I think we can argue it's not the most exciting football, but we all want to watch it. We all want to see. I mean, everyone's like, this is crazy. It feels like if yeah. Liverpool wasn't on this run of a season, this could be Leicester 2.0. Mm-hmm. It certainly feels like that kind of on the outside. I mean, if Liverpool drops, what, say they lose two more games here, that brings mm-hmm. us down to 39 points. Then we got a 39, 37, 36 race with Forrest in the middle. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Props to Nuno taking this team from 17th to 2nd in the first half. Do I think they will stay here in 2025? I'm going to say they stay top four, but I don't know about 2nd.
Top four? I feel like top four is a pretty good shout. I mean, yeah, they haven't been playing the most like electric football we've ever seen, but you know, they're getting the job done. So at this point, you at least have to respect them for being up there. And I think, you know, it's an earned place. It's not, you know, by accident that they're up there.
The loss to Forest from Liverpool looks so much better now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, before it felt like Chelsea losing to Ipswich, but now it's, you know, number one loss to number two. Like, that could happen.
It should happen in all sports, right? Number one and number two yeah. battling. Yeah, man. I mean, their goal differential is their biggest knock just because they go up a goal and then they secure it and win. So plus 7 on the season, that's, you know, that's considered top 7. But they got the points, man. They got the wins. They're not dropping these games. You know, losing to City a couple weeks back, fine, expected. Losing yep. to Arsenal makes sense. Losing to Castle, okay, that makes sense too. The Fulham game, I think they wish they might have had back. Mm-hmm. Losing 1-0 to Fulham, that kind of hurts. I mean, if we look at the table, then they would be what, at 40 points? They're sitting pretty right now in 2nd. I can see them slipping up a little bit when they get to go to this, you know, second half of the season when teams have already kind of figured out how they played. Yeah, the repeat matches will be interesting. But, yeah. Hey, man, yeah, props to them.
I think, yeah, they certainly, you know, are performing well. But I think, yeah, teams will kind of start to figure them out. And I think their downfall will be just the weird little slip-ups against teams they should be beating, whereas, like, they're winning against teams they maybe shouldn't be beating, but then, you know, I don't know if it's a focus thing or just, you know, sometimes maybe feeling like, I don't know. I guess maybe you're playing to the other team's level sometimes. So yeah, I think, I don't know where I'm placing them yet in 2025, but,
well, we're going to do that soon. So
we're going to do it soon. So I'll think on it. But I think, you know, they've certainly shown an incredible amount of progress over the last few seasons that we've seen them. So,
yep. All right, I think let's go over a couple more teams here, then we'll kind of break down our top 20. Chelsea has been on fire for most of this first half of the season. Now they drop 2 in a row. As soon as y'all thinking about the title, nope. And now they're really not thinking about the title anymore. Now we got to stay in top 4.
Yeah,
man, today's game, I watched almost the whole 90.
Mm-hmm.
Palmer just, they couldn't find him. It was different from a Haaland effect, right? Where Haaland just stops moving. Palmer was bouncing all around the pitch, but it just felt like he couldn't get the space he wanted. This team becomes very frustrated when things don't go their way.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
what there were like three fights or you know, bust ups, whatever you want to call it.
Silly bust ups, but yes, Caldwell getting angry over nothing. Gusto kind of flipping out over nothing. Palmer, like, his frustration is interesting because he kind of smiles, but like it's a sarcastic, like, I hate this type of smile.
For sure. Yeah.
but that just kind of shows, I think, where they're at right now, maturity wise, and when things aren't going their way. It's not a let's lock this shit down. It's not when Liverpool gets two red cards against Tottenham and still earns a point, even though the only reason why we didn't get the win is because of an own goal. It's so different. So different. And that's something that this team, I think it starts from the top, starts from captaincy, it starts from management. I didn't really see anyone saying, let's get it together. Like, this game is still possible to win at the 88th minute. We've seen them do it before. They did it against Man United last year.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Why this year going 2-0 down against Ipswich and having flip out moments, but we were, what, I guess they were 3-2 down against Man U in like the 90th and ended up winning that game?
I think so,
Why do you want to beat Man U so bad but not Ipswich?
I think it, you know, maybe just a little bit of not giving Ipswich the respect from the get-go. Like, I get there's, you know, opposite ends of the table, and yeah, Chelsea have been playing really well for, you know, quite a while now, and so maybe came in with a little bit, I don't know, not enough focus or drive entering the game, and, you know, Ipswich is fighting and scraping for every point they can get, so of course they're going to come out swinging. But yeah, I think this Chelsea team is just so, I don't know, I feel like their team chemistry is so, like, off a lot of the times. Like, Palmer, yeah, will pop up and win them games, and then, you know, we've seen, you know, Nick Jackson this season kind of do the same. You know, Neto, it's like people will pop off, or like one or two will pop off, but never, I don't get the same, like, team chemistry connection feeling that I get from, like, I know Arsenal, so like I feel it there, but like even watching Liverpool, like, you can feel the team kind of working together. You know, even Newcastle today, like, felt like they were working really well together, and Chelsea, I feel like so often from my eyes feels like it's less a like a full team working together and like parts of teams working together, and it often works because those parts tend to be your Palmer, your Neto, your Jackson, you know, people that need to be doing it. So I don't know if it's something in that where they're just like, because they're so young, they maybe just don't have that like fight and drive to fully back each other. And you know, if something goes wrong, to pull that person up and out and, you know, refocus the team. Like, there is no one like that, like you said. There's no Thiago Silva there anymore to, you know, wrangle these kids in and you know, get them refocused. It's just, I think they're all just on the same page. Like, well, okay, we got to just go and score now. And then when that doesn't happen, that's when they're all getting frustrated now. And, you know, it's, I don't know, weird team for me to watch. It just, they're not title contenders, clearly. But, you know, I don't think they're overly far off. It just, you're missing some of the, I guess, the more mental side of the game.
I don't know how much this team respects Enzo as a captain.
That's fair.
I mean, after the drama that he stirred up, he's 23. I get it. You're a young team too, but I just don't. He's like all bark, no bite.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe him. And I think most of the league, when they go against Chelsea, they see that in him. I mean, he's not a Virgil, right? And I get Virgil's like a legit monster, but when Virgil commands something out of the team, it gets done. Enzo was trying. He was trying to get the team to do things today, but like, he doesn't have that, I don't know, the pedigree or the resume to, besides playing with Messi, like, that's his thing, right? Like, that's what everyone knows Enzo as. And yeah, this team is, I think, in desperate need of a veteran presence who has been there and done that. How are they going to get that guy with all these contracts? I mean, I think it's just going to have to be built internally. As much as Palmer is great, is he a captain? I don't think so.
If he's anything in real life like he is in the interviews, no.
Those interviews are so good. Like for instance, for the whole discussion right now at Liverpool is who's going to be the captain after Virgil goes. And, you know, there's a lot of talk with Trent. But honestly, I think it's going to be Curtis Jones. Curtis Jones is a dog when he gets out there. And he commands the team. And he's, you know, he's homegrown. And I understand Trent is, I think it's going to be a weird controversy when that comes up. But Trent as a captain, just, I don't know, man. It's different. Unless he comes into a huge leadership role sooner rather than later. I like Curtis a lot in that role, and I just don't see anyone in Chelsea being that guy, at least not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to, you know, Odegaard took the captaincy when there was more veteran players on the team still, and, you know, he was young, but I think he kind of has that, I don't know, that persona about him where he can kind of lead and carry. I mean, yeah, he's had been doing it for Norway already, so, like, that certainly helped, but, you know, you still see him out there as play is going on, like moving people around, telling people, you know, watch this run, whatever, like kind of commanding while playing. And then also seems to do well of like reorganizing people post goal or, you know, pre-match or any of that. So I don't think I've ever seen Enzo really do that. And I've never really seen anyone else on that Chelsea team try to really direct anyone too much, right? It's like they're all just kind of out there, and I think that's what I was maybe trying to say earlier, is like they're not all playing separately. It's not that bad, but I think it's just like it almost feels clicky when I watch Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean it is clicky, because remember when Cole Palmer was trying to take his PK last year, and there was different groups trying to fight over who. I mean, that's exactly what, honestly, that's kind of what happened today. If there was a PK taken and it was, you know, say Cole Palmer missed a PK earlier today and he was stepping up again. Oh, man. I don't know. I understand you got to believe in your guy, but
yeah,
it maybe say he misses two or has an open goal. I just think there's so much it's the lack of respect in this team. There's not one guy saying, give me the ball and give it to Palmer. You know, before when they had Gallagher, he was kind of that guy because he was the one who respected that rule last year. He took the ball, I think, from... might have been Madueke, and then gave it to Palmer and made sure that happened. I don't know what would happen if that scenario went down today with this Chelsea team. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I forgot about Gallagher, but he definitely kind of, he had that same kind of like vibe about him that I get with Odegaard when he's out there, of like, you know, will kind of lead and command and you know, talk to players, and then they would at least mostly listen to him, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, it'd be really interesting to see that same event happen now, because I guess, you know, I think it would probably still end up being Palmer, but I think it would be another spectacle to watch of like 3-4 guys arguing about this kick.
Scenario. Who's ripping the ball out of Madueke's hands to give it to Palmer on this Chelsea team right now? It should be Enzo as captain, but I don't think he has the guts to do it.
I don't think so.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I think it's Cuckoo.
That's the one I was thinking as we were like talking about all of this, is that he seems the most, I don't know, not like a leader, but I guess the most likely to have that quality.
I think it's the Spanish DNA, man. It's winning a title with his team. He's been there. He's done that. Maybe not the Premier League level, but at least at the international level, and he knows what it takes to win. I think, if I had to look at the squad and readjust the captaincy, I think he would get it. He's too inconsistent with him being on the pitch and kind of his antics. I mean, he's leading the team in yellow cards this year, so not the best example, and red cards for that matter. But that's the idea for captain I have in my head for them. So I don't expect anyone to come into the transfer window and be the captain, but I do think they should get some leadership in that dressing room. Definitely. Especially after losing two in a row. And you're going to have Palace next, which Palace has been this kind of bogey team lately. Palace upsets you. What happens next? Then you're out of top five.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is it's still fairly tight. What, from, I'll say like second to seven.
Yeah.
7-point split there. So like very easily you get on one little bad patch of form and you're falling pretty far. Palace could do a job against you. They are starting to wake up a little bit, especially with Sarr. Eze's back out there playing well. So, even beyond that week, they got Bournemouth the following week, who's, just as willing to fight and scrap as Ipswich is, and, has, I'd say, better players overall. So, certainly not the easiest run that Chelsea has ahead of them. So they got to kind of bounce back quick and, at least re-steer the ship a little bit.
Palace and Bournemouth have just as many wins as Chelsea in their last six games. So Chelsea cannot take these games lightly.
No, yeah.
Fascinating. What a great storyline. Content,
man. Yeah.
Content.
Yeah, and I was wondering, because Sanchez didn't start in goal, but I don't see him listed on the injury list. So I don't know if they were just wanting to rest him or try something new, but I think that that certainly also played into it, as you're now, disrupting your starting 11, which I get. It's been a lot of games in a small window here. But I think they maybe entered this game thinking it's Ipswich. We can, rotate more heavily here and get away with it. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think Chelsea had so much of the ball, so many shots, plenty of time to get back into the game with some leadership there and some direction. I think they probably could have still come back and won this, regardless of going down one or eventually two.
I don't know who that guy is, but they need one.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the Manchesters together here, Chad, because it was only a week ago that I said I'd rather be United instead of City, and
yep.
Now I don't know anymore. Both these teams have shown me absolutely nothing in the last week. Even though City got a win, you're playing Leicester though, and Leicester has been. I mean, you're starting Vestergaard and Connor Cody in the back line here. I expect you to score more than two, honestly. The City team went all of 2024 without getting Jack Grealish a goal. It's crazy. $100 million man. Broken. Savinho, though, came in finally and played well. I think he played great at the beginning of the season. I'm surprised it took him this long to get him back out there. Yeah. Haaland had a great towering header. It's what they should be doing more and more, and they seem to struggle with that. But again, this is a Leicester team. We go back to the game prior and they drew against Everton. We saw that coming.
Yes.
No one else had the guts to take that game, but you, me, and your brother totally lean into it. I picked a draw for Leicester too, just because I was going to ride that wave. I didn't expect much out of it, but the City team, I still don't have any expectations, and I think they'll continue to kind of be in this now 5, 6, 7, 8 spot.
Yeah. I think, a lot of the reaction online is, I'm assuming, like, sarcastic and joking of, a lot of City fans are like, all right, we're back. We scored a goal. We can play again. But I don't think you're really out of the woods yet. I watched like the second half of this game, and while I think you looked better than Leicester, certainly, I don't think you looked that much better than Leicester. If anything, I think Leicester, Jamie Vardy had the chance to, I don't know why he went with his foot. I think a header would have been perfect to get that ball in and tie up the game, and then who knows what happens. But, you know, and they had, I think, one or two other, like, not great looks, but moments where their attack looked like it could become something. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like City was a little shaky that whole half, and then just, I think, a little bit uncomfortable having a lead and, you know, being in this poor run of form. I don't think they wanted to let it slip, and I think probably in their heads a little bit about it. So I don't know. This could be some little springboard, but overall play, I don't feel like convinced me that, you know, City is back and you know, they'll be full force again.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think they really need to at least go on a run of 3 to 4 wins maybe in a row for me to believe in you a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, scoring one goal for Haaland in this game, really, I mean, that's his first goal, what feels like in forever. He started out the season with 12 goals, and then he scored 3 in his last 12. It was something crazy like that. He hasn't scored in forever. I mean, I'm assuming his last game he scored was against, no, it wasn't against Forest.
Let's see. So, yeah, game before Palace in match week 15. Before that was match week 11 versus Brighton, match week 9 Southampton. And then his initial goal run ended with the goal against Arsenal in match week 5. So, you know, he's sitting on 14 goals, but he's been very quiet since week 5 onward.
That's crazy. It's crazy how much amount of goal scoring spree he was on, and then it just stops.
Yeah, and you know, he's still taking most of these games, a couple shots each game, and getting them on target. But then, you know, certainly hit a a dead patch post Palace with one shot in the next 3 games, and none of those were on target. So he's certainly been out of form with the rest of City, I think, and you know, it's, they don't have a backup striker anymore. You know, they sold Julian Alvarez. So what do? You got to play Haaland.
Yeah. Or you go false 9 again, but you don't have the wingers to do that. Amarez. I mean, Savinho could definitely be one of them, but I mean, I guess you assume Jack Grealish was probably going to fall into, into being that guy, but that's, we're too far gone at that point. I don't feel bad for them. So,
No. Yeah, I mean, if you ask me again, which Manchester team do I want to be? I don't know. I guess you go City just based on table position at this point, but, like, that's kind of it. You know, they, I don't think, are performing any better or worse than United overall. Like, I think United probably still has a little bit better upside, but I think it's going to take some time to get that figured out. And, you know, I don't know how much time they're going to give the new coach over there. Not that I think he's going to get fired a month into his job, but
he does look weathered, though.
He looks weathered. He looks frustrated already. A lot of his, you know, press conference comments are, I think, real, but, you know, not overly, not too positive, I guess. I mean, what, you're sitting 7 points off of the relegation zone. If I just said, you know, second to seventh was a 7-point split, and, you know, I was talking about all those teams being in the running, I guess United certainly in the running for relegation.
I mean, they have the most L's in their last 6. Even with Southampton.
That's crazy.
So, same form. Yeah, it's crazy. Manchester United has so much to figure out.
Yeah.
Where do you begin?
I don't know. I don't think Rashford was the problem. So
no, I don't either.
Him, you know, exiling Rashford for whatever reason, I don't think that's the issue. You know, certainly Bruno getting the red card last week was stupid, and, you know, another knock against if he's captain worthy, I guess. I don't know. It United kind of seemed like they were committing to like the Chelsea strategy of signing young and building, but then I don't think they were just built a team well. They just kind of saw some young player have a good season or a half season and said, yep, you're who we need, and just brought him in.
Are you Dutch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This team has so much to figure out. It almost makes me wonder if they should have given Van Nistelrooy some offer. And because, I mean, those two games that we saw him, I was like, they're actually playing here. Rashford was motivated. Yeah. And now Rashford's not even on the team. Did he get subbed in today, though? I think he did. Or at least I saw him
warming up. Yeah, I know they played that clip of him warming up, but I don't know if he actually came in.
I don't think he did.
Let's see. Rashford, no, did not get in.
No, I mean...
So, yeah, and I don't know that, like... I mean... So you're moving on from Ten Hag. I don't know that you necessarily needed this season to, you know, instantly bring in your next head coach. I think you see, okay, Van Nistelrooy comes in. He's getting the team to play well. We're getting, you know, a win or two here. Maybe just ride that out for a little bit. Like, not necessarily make him a permanent thing, but at least keep him as like the interim manager while you kind of fully assess your situation. And you know, maybe Amorim's not your guy, but now you've already, you know, agreed this deal with him and have him there for however long, so yeah, you could sack him, but then you gotta pay him out his contract. Whereas like if you maybe took the time and saw, okay, well, you know, Rashford is a problem, then we gotta figure out what to do with him, or you know, we need help in this department, whatever, and kind of get a better full picture of like what is wrong with your club and why have you been struggling almost, you know, every season post Fergie. I don't think they want to take the time to do that, and they're trying to like do it all on the fly as it goes. And you know, I think that's why we're still here with this United team of just, again, not up to the standards that everyone thinks United should be at.
I think the Amorim as a coach is the right move. I think this is definitely a panic, quick decision, thinking they might lose him if they don't do it.
Sure.
I think he can very well be a coach in the Premier League. I don't doubt that. I just think they threw him into a dumpster and said, figure it out. And he kind of had that. Yeah. I think he had the mentality of like, I can fix him. But like with 20 players who have been a shell of themselves really in the last year and a half. He almost was, I don't want to say he was cocky, but maybe too much confidence, too much belief, because he came in and, correct me if I'm wrong, they won their first game against City, or maybe that was his second game.
I think so.
I think that was his second game. He came in for, he was there for the Forest game. That was a rude awakening for him, saying, Forest is real. I got to figure this out. Came back and beat City. Pretty big deal, right? I was like, okay, like, you know, they got something to show here. They definitely played up to their opponent, and then they've just gone on an epic losing streak since then. Not scoring a goal in the Premier League since that City game.
Oof.
That's so bad, dude.
Well, you know, that's often how it goes for teams at that low end of the table.
And I'll dig into it more. The goals they scored against City was a Bruno PK, which was a terrible decision by City, and a crazy Diallo could be goal of the year.
Yes.
So that's where United is right now.
Yeah. I think there's just a lot to go through and unpack. You know, I think Amorim is a coach that can take them forward, but I think they need to give him the time and resources to do that. And, you know, new ownership. So hopefully that means they are willing to do that. But You know, if United of old is anything to go off of, then once it starts to go bad and sour, then they'll just kind of move on. But then you're just kind of back to square one. So
I want to see him just buy like the Newcastle team. Like everyone from Newcastle, you're just like, this is United now. Or buy like the Spanish national team. Get all the guys who've been playing with each other forever. Throw down a Chelsea billion and just make it happen.
Not a bad shout.
I don't know what else you're going to do, man. Like, if you got the money, which we know you do, they're in the top 10 richest franchise or the most biggest net worth of franchises in the world. It's like Dallas Cowboys, New York Yankees, and then somehow Manchester United.
That's crazy.
And one of those teams does not belong there in terms of their records. And that's one we're talking about.
Yeah. I hope they give him time to figure it out. Like,
yeah, don't fire him, man. He's the only bright spot you have.
Yeah, I think you have to let him try and build something, and or at least like start to move the club in the right direction, because otherwise I think you just keep floundering in this weird limbo of we have good performances and then we fully drop off and then we have a good game and then we like level out and then, you know, you're mid-table or lower.
They're paying Mason Mount $1 million a month.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's more than just a coach or you know, player issue. There's, you need the bigger picture here of recruitment and training and everything that goes into it, because whoever decided to bring Mason Mount in was already a bad idea. And, you know, I saw it floating around that Rashford's getting paid like $300,000 a week, which, crazy numbers, but that's just what United has kind of been known for, right? Of like paying big wages to get the players they want, and it doesn't always work out.
Their payroll's gross. Casemiro, $350,000. Anthony, $200,000. Harry Maguire, $190,000. Christian Eriksen, $150,000. These are all top 10 in their top 10. Luke Shaw, $150,000. Wow. We finally get into like the bargains. Diego Dalot, $85,000. Like,
yeah,
get more of those. Garnacho, yeah. $50,000.
Wow, pennies.
Kobe Manu.
How could he survive?
20. I get it. Who? Kobe Manu. He's he's young, yeah. But still.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta show some upside and some progress in your club, right? Because if he's getting paid $20,000 a week, almost any other team could come in and throw a significant chunk more at him and it'd still be well within their wage structure, but, you know, turn his head and, you know, then maybe you lose out on a promising young player.
Because he's in a dumpster right now.
Yeah.
He's a dumpster. Yeah, crazy. All right, Chad, with that, I think we do our table.
Sure.
Okay. At the beginning of the season, spot number 20, you had Forest. I won't shame you because I'm close.
Look, I had to go off of the Forest I knew.
Yeah, explain yourself.
You know, for going through the Steve Cooper years and early Nuno, like 20 felt right.
We didn't know. I had Ipswich at 20.
It's fair.
They are, you know, the newly worst, promoted. But they're close. They're not far off of that. Of course, today they beat Chelsea, so I got to knock them up a peg or two. But if we look at the table right now, Southampton is there, and I think they're there stay.
Yeah, I think they're pretty nailed on there.
I had them, I think, at 17th. I wanted them to... I had them at 16, ahead of the Wolves.
Okay.
I had them at 17. I wanted them to stick around. I thought they could maybe do it, but they're not ready for it yet. Not enough quality. And it wouldn't shock me if they come back in the Premier League in two more years and kind of repeat this process again. But
yeah,
time will tell. All right, 19. I had Forest at 19. currently sitting second. They will not be staying 19, I'll tell you that. 19 right now. We're seeing Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, I had Ipswich, so like, again, could go either way. But
I think Leicester feels right.
Leicester does feel pretty good there, honestly.
Unless their January window goes crazy. True. I think they're there to stay. I think the teams above them, Wolves, Everton, Palace, depending deductions for Everton. I'm going to put an asterisk by my Everton pick, though. I think if they get deducted, they'll be in trouble. But they've been stringing together draws. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Are you putting Leicester at 19th?
Yeah, I think they're going to stay 19th.
Okay. All right. 18. We both had Everton, which I don't think is the worst shout at 18.
No.
They're sitting 16th right now, only 2 points out of relegation.
Yeah.
There's no way they get relegated.
I think Everton's probably safe, but I think it will be this, you know, just kind of by the skin of their teeth, you know. I don't think they're really figuring it out, but they've at least been figuring out how to scrape a draw. And, you know, those points are big. So I think they'll make it, but just barely.
So who's in your 18 hole?
18th. I think probably Ipswich. Dang. I want them to make it out. I don't want it to just be a triple up and down, but you know, yeah, I'm going to go Ipswich. I was between them and Wolves just because, you know, Wolves, I think, dropped a lot of points in games we thought they should win. But now they're kind of coming back to life with the new manager and, you know, Cunha's on a heater, like we said, and the Huang Bang is back, baby.
So good.
So I think Wolves will kind of be like an Everton and just sneak out. So Ipswich, I think, will stay 18.
Okay. I have no regrets for my original pick in West Ham, but they're going to go 17th for me. They just stay out of relegation. Wow. But from what I've seen, I mean, come on, man.
It's fair.
From what we've seen, and now you're losing Jared Bowen for, let's just go take a peek and see if we have any updates on his injury. I doubt we will.
Probably not yet.
No return date. I don't know what is wrong with him is what Premier League injuries.
Good.
And that is why West Ham will be my 17th, dropping all the way down.
From
fourth place down to 17th. It's just Forest, and I got them mixed up. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair. Got
them mixed up. Your 17th pick, Chad.
17. I think I'm putting Everton at 17.
Okay. Do you want me to asterisk them if they get points deducted and they fall into relegation?
No, I think they're going to, I don't think they're getting any deduction.
Okay.
I think the league had their fun with them last season and we'll let them struggle it out this season without the deduction.
I believe it. we both had Leicester at 16th, going in. That's obviously we were changing that.
Yeah.
Everton currently sitting 16th. So we need to change that a little bit. Man, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Halfway through the season with Wolves and we're at 16 points. I think that's where I got to put Wolves.
It's fair.
You know, they had a tough stretch to start the season, but again, they're going to run into that again soon.
Yeah.
So I think keeping them out of relegation is probably where I think they'll be. So I think 16th is fair.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking they would. Yeah, like I think they just dropped too many winnable points early on, and they're just going to I think they're going to do better than Everton, but not like shoot up the table by any means. So I think Wolves are going 16th for me.
Okay. We had Fulham and Wolves. I had Fulham at 15. You had Wolves at 15. Really missed that. Okay, to be fair, we didn't expect this type of Anthony Robinson to really shine. He's been their guy. Of course, they've had other pieces coming in there and figuring it out. This was before Anderson came in as a lockdown defender. Issa Diop is now showing up. Castanji, honestly, on the right side is playing really well. So I like Fulham. I like where they at right now. They're at eighth place. Makes sense. Yeah. So I got to change my 15th pick here.
For sure.
You know, call me crazy. I think United is there to stay.
15th? I can see it. I mean,
prove me wrong.
Yeah, the small glimmer of hope is very small. Seems to, you know, disappear quickly. So 15th for United.
Wow. I mean, Liverpool's out, fingers crossed, about to smash them in like 6 days, and I think that'll just solidify. I think Palace jumps them very soon.
It's fair. Okay. Like it. I like it. For me, 15th, I think 15th is going to be, I think West Ham, honestly.
I had a feeling you were going to say them.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, they've not shown us a whole lot. And, you know, anytime I have an inkling of hope that they could do something, it just does not ever pay off. So, you know, yeah, like you said, Bowen is out for however long. But even their other heavy hitters like Kudus and Paqueta don't seem to really be doing anything this season.
Shells.
You know? Yeah, so something is rotten in that club. And yeah, it's going to be an off season for them. So I think 15 is fair enough.
We were pretty good on our 14th pick here, Chad. We both had Crystal Palace. We're only a little off here. They're sitting at 15th. I think 14th is pretty fair for them, but I want a little more out of them. I think, I hate to say it, but I think Brighton's going to continue to fall here.
That far? Wow.
They're at 27 points right now, and 14th place is sitting at 22. Look, Brighton hasn't had Danny Welbeck in a long time. They're not playing the same type of ball they were playing beforehand. They look slow. You got João Pedro out there trying to throw bows to people's heads. That was crazy. That's a whole other thing we didn't even talk about. But like that's the Brighton mentality that I see. And it wouldn't shock me if it continues to slide this way going into 2025. I mean, they haven't got a win in their last six. Their last victory was, we go all the way back to November 23rd against Bournemouth. Really? So they did their job, though. They beat City, right? Everyone takes something off of City. But this team just starts so hot, and then they cool off and essentially freeze during the winter, it seems like. And then they don't have the will to bounce back in the spring. So that's why I'm bringing Brighton down to 14th. And it's crazy because it felt like a couple weeks ago, I mean, at this rate, it was probably like late November, but they were sitting 5-6. We had like Brentford, Forest, Bournemouth, and Fulham all sitting pretty up there. But yeah, I can't buy Brighton right now.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I think I'm leaving Palace at 14. That feels good for me. They're starting to show up here and there, but
yeah,
the full like team click I don't think has happened yet.
I'm going Palace at 13. I wanted to get them as close to 12 as possible. but yeah, I don't think they're going to beat it this year. But yes, they are clicking. It took a while. Beteta, we might figure it out. He's a second half guy. We'll see. He's got to figure it out for them to at least move up a couple spots because they're sitting 15th. Yeah, they got to move up a little bit. Previously at 13, I had... Oh, you know what? I did have Palace at 13th. I had, you did.
Okay.
I had my arrows down. You had Bournemouth at 13th, though.
Yeah, they're certainly better than 13th this season, I think. So they will move up for me. Let's see. I think 13th for me. I think 13th will be Man U, honestly. I don't think they're going to be as, like, in the relegation scrap as everyone wants them to be, but I don't think they're going to, like, vastly improve over the last half of the season.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch, obviously. 12th is tricky. Brentford's sitting 12th right now.
I'm happy with mine.
You had Brentford. Yeah, you're keeping
that
it?
Feels very fair. Yeah, you know, they got zero away form. you know, it's just it's not the Brentford. They're like the Mbeumo Wissa connection. When it's on, it looks great, but mm-hmm. it just doesn't seem to be on enough at like every game. So, yeah, I think 12 is a healthy spot for them.
Losing Pinnick too, that's a big deal.
Yeah, losing Pinnick back there. You know, Flecken went out. It doesn't have a return date for him yet on the Premier League injury table, but, you know, if you're now lost your starting keeper and they have a whole slew of other injuries, a lot of defensive injuries, honestly. Yeah, so,
danger zone.
Yeah, so I think 12 is okay. I think they can hang on. I think what they got, well, Arsenal next, but then they got... Southampton, City, Liverpool, Palace. So they got a rough run coming up, but I feel like they can hang on.
Yeah. 12 is tricky. I think I got to go Brentford too, just to play it safe. I mean, the teams above them have had so many injuries, and I feel like they're on their way of coming back off of injury where I expect a little more points. And we'll get into those teams shortly, but I think 12th is pretty fair for Brentford. So well done. I mean, I had them at 10 again, perfectly balanced. Win your home games, lose your away games, have them at 10th makes total sense. So
there you go.
pretty good picks by us to have them mid table, but 12th feels fair. All right. I had Brighton at 11, which not too far off. What are they sitting at right now? At 10, so pretty close. But you had Chelsea, Chad, at 11th.
Yeah, I did.
So you got to make a little adjustment there.
Didn't trust the process, I guess. you know, 11. Kind of feels like Brighton to me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, kind of struggling, falling flat here. You know, beyond not scoring goals or anything, I think we're not even really seeing Matoma do his thing as much this year. I don't know if teams are just, you know, defending him much more or just the system doesn't really work with him that well, but they're certainly not as threatening as they once were. So I think 11 is fair for Brighton.
Oh, man, 11's tricky here. Tricky. I don't think Tottenham will be a bottom half team. But if their injuries are here to stay, they will be.
Udogie just picked up another injury last game. So
their whole back line's
out. He's out more.
Their whole back line's out. And like
Van de Ven seems to come back, play a couple games, and then get another hamstring injury. So
here's, you know what? I am going to put him at 11, and here's why. You're going to bring these guys back in February and March and play for what? They have nothing to play for at this point of the season. They're not going to make top four.
Mm-hmm.
At least I don't think. I mean, they're not, I guess, too far out, but I just think with their injuries in place, they're going to continue to be in this middle of the table run. So
You need a lot of teams above you to just flounder for you to make it up in the top four.
I don't think it's going to happen. So Tottenham, you get my 11 which, oh my God, where did I have him? Sixth. We both had him.
Yeah.
I had fifth. Yeah.
See, I tried to believe.
What were you thinking?
Thought Ainge knew like more than one tactic, I guess. I don't know.
Not this year. Maybe next year.
Yeah. Okay, on to 10.
Top half, here we go.
Ooh, okay.
So I had Brentford, you had Brighton before we started. Brighton's in at 10.
Pretty yeah. Good. I think I'm going to put Villa there. They're just, I don't know. They've lost that spark a little bit, I think. And Emery doesn't seem to know how to get it back necessarily. Morgan Rodgers, I think, has been a pretty bright spot. Duran has been a bright spot. Ollie Watkins has been super inconsistent. And I'd say even lean more towards just like bad form. defensively, I think they just look way more shaky. Like backline and Emmy are just not as
Emmy especially
fierce as they once were, I guess. Onana, when he's in that midfield, I think really helps, but he can't seem to stay out there. So I think they're what, ninth right now? Yeah, so they'll drop a position, but yeah, not as electric as we kind of thought they were.
I think cause right now, I mean, fifth through ninth is 3 points apart. Mm-hmm. Aston Villa has, I mean, they're top five in Champions League right now. So that's...
Yeah, doing great there.
This is tournament team time. So I agree with you. I think Emery is probably going to focus on that a lot more. However, I don't think they're going to be in 10th. I think they have too much... too many like good players on their team. A couple guys coming back from injury now. So I do think they'll work their way up a little bit. The team that I think falls out of where they are right now is likely to be Fulham at 8th. So I'm going to put them at 10th. I just don't think Fulham's going to have it. Again, 8th to 10th from right now, not a huge drop off. I just think Fulham is that secures the top 10.
Yeah.
All right, on to 9. You had Fulham at 9. I had Man United at 9.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth. It's either Fulham or Tottenham at 9 for me. And I think it's probably going to be Tottenham, just because they do have just so many injuries and they want to keep playing just like super attacking and leaving themselves way exposed in the back. And they went up against Wolves and you change tactic a little bit, you defend a little bit better. I think you can take that win, but again, they want to keep playing just always attack, which fun to watch, but it also is not so fun at the other end. So I don't see them making much improvement even with getting a lot of players back at some point, so they'll go 9th.
Tricky. Man. I want to believe in Bournemouth too. Sitting 7th. But I think I'm going to go Bournemouth here. Again, I think this just comes down to them not having that much of a... They never really been around this spot in this part of the season, so I expect a drop-off to come at some point, and I think falling to 9th, which is not a bad season at any point for them, I just think that's going to happen. And we had I had Newcastle at 8th, and you had Man United at 8th, so I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry, at 9th. Now we're on to 8th here. I had Newcastle previously. You had Man United previously. I think this is where I'm going to have Aston Villa now. I think they go up a few spots. I previously had them at 5th. You had them at 4th. little drop off, not too surprising. You know, maybe thought they could hang on, but
yeah. Yeah, I think I'll probably move Bournemouth there to 8th. Certainly better than the 13th I predicted earlier. So, you know, they're good. They play a good game, pretty aggressive, I think, and you know, are getting some maybe unexpected wins or at least causing trouble for a lot of teams, but they seem to kind of struggle to be consistent with their form, I think. So yep. I think 8th is okay for them. Good season, like you said.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're falling into line here of the last 7 teams. Mm-hmm. I had Chelsea previously. You had West Ham here at this spot. This is going to get a little tricky here. Oh man, this is really hard. I think I'm gonna stick, Chad, with Chelsea at 7.
Wow. Okay.
I just think they were so hot and got so many games in a row with so many points to where we maybe overestimated their readiness.
Sure.
And we're kind of seeing right now that they're going to have some slip-ups here, and how do they handle it? If they lose again, or say lose the next 1 out of 3 or 2 out of 3 here, I think 7's going to be a spot for them that they hold. So that's where I leave.
Okay. I mean, I will tell you, I've been seeing it all online today after their loss that, you know, Maresca was Leicester's manager that brought him up last season. And I guess they kind of had a really flat second half to the point where they almost missed out on promotion. So people are saying, is this, you know, the start of that? I think it's maybe too early to say all that, but, you know, there is that at least one season track record of, you know, a rough second half. So it could happen.
People will not like this, and I'm prepared to post this on Discord. And I know I will get some feedback. I'll post this in Discord and our Instagram group just to see what is said. But I'm prepared. I think that's fair. Right. We'll see. Who's your 7?
7 got to be Fulham. You know, I don't think they're going to crack the top 6. 7 honestly feels a little bit generous, but they seem to be a team that's kind of like a Bournemouth, kind of like a you know, Villa of early and last season. Just have some little spark about them that is catching a lot of teams off guard, but, you know, they still make a weird mistake here and there and give away some goals. But, you know, Anthony Robinson is, I'd say, maybe the best left back in the league this season. So he's kind of doing his thing, and no one seems to be able to stop him. So as long as Fulham can keep building on that, letting him do his thing and not letting in dumb goals, I think it'll help with Anderson back healthy now. So, 7th. So I think a very strong season for Fulham.
I mean, we don't watch top 5 a whole lot, top 5 leagues, but I want to believe Anthony Robinson is one of the best left backs in the world at this point.
Could be, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's only a handful of guys out there that we know at left back. You know, I'm sure Teo Hernandez is there. They're, you know, you guys still got the Davies. Mm-hmm. You still got guys who are there. But, I mean, he's been so good lately, just whipping in balls, racking up assists, just a menace on that left side. So big shout-outs to Robinson. Big Robinson fans here.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's better than I expected, honestly. And, you know, seems to have, I think his attacking side has always been there. Maybe not as lethal as it is this season, but always there. And then defensively, he always seemed a little bit suspect. And I think he's kind of more fleshed that out this season and, you know, seems to put in a shift at both ends, but then no one can stop his perfect crosses. So, so good. It's cooking.
All right, number six, Chad. I had Tottenham. You had Newcastle. Pretty close. Mm-hmm. We got City, Newcastle left in my books. It's crazy if City doesn't make it, but I'm putting City at sixth.
I was kind of thinking the same, partly because I want to believe that they will not make it into Europe and we'll all have a good laugh about it.
Yep.
But also just if you've sank to this bad of form once this season, there's going to be other blips. Maybe not as prolonged as this one, but you know, I don't think it's going to be the smooth sailing win every single game the second half of the season.
Yep.
City that we're used to. So I think they'll hold on to sixth. I think they'll stay kind of right on the heels of that top five, but I don't think this is their year for Europe. Sorry.
But not sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just want good content too, so.
Yeah, exactly. Makes our job easier.
Way easier. All right, coming in at number five. I had Aston Villa. You had Tottenham. Obviously, those are not happening again.
Yes.
Newcastle sitting fifth right now. I'll tell you this much. I think Newcastle is breaking into top four.
Mm-hmm.
So that means... am I missing someone here? Who do I have at five prior? Aston Villa, West Ham. Uh-oh, Chad, I did the thing. I think I'm missing a team.
Who don't you got?
Well, who do we have left? I have Liverpool, Forest, Arsenal. Oh, no. Sorry. I have Liverpool, Forest, Arsenal, and Newcastle. And who didn't I pick?
I don't know. Uh-oh. Who didn't you pick?
I missed someone.
Okay, read your list.
Okay. Check me off here. Southampton, mm-hmm. Leicester, mm-hmm. Ipswich, mm-hmm. West Ham, mm-hmm. Wolves, mm-hmm. Man United, Brighton, mm-hmm. Palace. What? Who'd I miss? You know it already.
Yeah, unless you're really believing.
Who is it?
Read your bottom ones again. Just to make sure.
Oh, I don't have Everton in here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's the one.
I can't believe Everton. Yeah,
they're really going to push on the second half of the season.
Okay, I'm going to have to wedge them in. But they're going to go in between West Ham and Wolves.
Okay.
So I like it. Everton would be 16th. Wolves go to 15th. We work our way down. So that means that City is now 5th. I don't like that.
Oof.
I don't like that. So you know what we're going to do? Chelsea, you made Europe.
Look at you. You're a giver.
I won't get yelled at as much now.
Yeah.
All right, I'll fix it when I make the final draft here. Okay, so now we're back here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got to do your number five hole then. I got my five hole in Chelsea.
Yeah. I think mine is going to be Chelsea, honestly. I was between them and Newcastle and a little bit Forest.
Yep.
But Newcastle, you know, is getting a lot of their players back from injury.
Yep.
Kind of looking more of the quick, pacey Newcastle that we were used to. So I think as long as they can stay healthy, I think they'll be okay. Chelsea is just kind of the big question mark. I think fifth feels fair. You know, it's certainly an improvement on the last couple seasons, certainly better than I predicted. And for, you know, being such a young team and placing fifth, good season.
Yeah, not bad. Much better than previously thought.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where I had West Ham. Big mistake. Big mistake, big regret. That said, I think four goes to Forest. You made Champions League. You had an incredible season. The reason why you're not holding on to second, or at least in the top three for me, is just because of your goal differential. You're not scoring a ton of goals. Okay. Yeah. Teams are going to figure you out in the second half. I think you can get the points where you need them. And luckily this top four, you know, you already got 5 points on Castle. Even though I expect Castle to jump you, I think this is where we're going to be. So, it's a big compliment to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically the same, you know, strong start, but like you said, they're just not scoring enough. And, you know, as teams are getting some players back, like Newcastle especially, I think they can take it to you a little bit more and get above you just a bit. But, like, look, we both expect you to get relegated. So you're up here top four, getting Champions League. That's an incredible story. Great season. Yeah, I think four set four feels fun. I like it.
Yep. I want to see you in Champions League.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three. I previously had Liverpool. You know, new manager.
Different time.
No signings really coming in.
Yeah. You didn't know it was going to happen.
Expect the unexpected, Chad. Liverpool will not be number three for me. I worry for Arsenal a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. I do. I don't know what to expect here. I think they have the quality, but I think you're going to see a little bit of a hiccup here and there. Just not losing, but I think draws. I think y'all are going to draw a lot here. Mm-hmm. You're losing your best goal scorer, your playmaker. And with that, I do think you're going to be third.
It's fair. Fair assessment. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, kind of unknown territory. You know, it's one player, but one very key player. So, yeah, I think I'm going to believe a little bit. So I'm going to put Newcastle at third and then Arsenal be second. So that leaves Liverpool up top.
Damn right it does.
And this is not me conceding the title. Again, I still believe, but you know, it is going to be even a tougher task now with no Saka out there. So,
yep, I got Newcastle at second, Liverpool at one. I keep seeing all these messages. You know, we concede the title to Liverpool. I will not buy into that bait. It's all bait. I won't buy into it. It's something that I need to see it at the end of the season to actually be like, yep, okay, we did it, we won it. It's just, so much can happen. If Salah, you know, pulls up, hurts his hamstring too, yeah, we got a nice cushion up there, but you don't know.
Yeah.
It's so early. We're halfway through the season. Yes, we could be up 9 points going into, gosh, 2025. It's wild against a team that just lost their best player. It's crazy. So,
yeah, I think, yeah, it's, you know, crazy to call it, you know, it's not, none of these teams feel like, you know, the old Man City that got 100 points, the old Liverpool that got 100 points, like no one feels so bulletproof in that. But I think Liverpool is certainly the closest to that. So, yeah, I think to predict, yeah, it's got to be Liverpool. Still fingers crossed Arsenal do something, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I feel pretty good about those picks, honestly. I don't feel like I judged anyone too harshly or, you know.
I went pretty hard on Man United, but they've shown me nothing.
Yeah.
They really have. So I think... And Tottenham, too. I think Tottenham is better than an 11th-place team, but I don't know how they are going to jump the table here with what they've been doing.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Chelsea could make top four. They could, but something's got to change, too. I mean, they were winning so many of the games they were supposed to win, and now they're losing the games they were supposed to win. And if you want to be in top four... like Forest, like Liverpool, like Arsenal, you gotta complete those. And I think Arsenal now has an excuse in some way. Like they drop some games, like that's okay. Sure, yeah. But Chelsea doesn't have that besides youth, which, okay, yeah. You can use that, but you can't use it forever.
Yeah, and, you know, even when you come up against those just bad days, like, if you can't pull out the draw at least, mm-hmm. you know, that's just not going to
yep.
help you get in top four at all. So,
yep.
I feel like we did good here. Nothing too crazy. I think we had good arguments for it too. So,
yes, when y'all see this list, I'm going to revert you back to the pod and the timestamp because you can listen in on it and see exactly why we did it this way. Chad, I think this is a good way to end 2025. We're an hour and a half in.
Yeah.
I look forward to a successful, spontaneous, adventurous 2025. Any you got a bucket list item for 2025 that you want to complete?
Nothing yet. Like, I was throwing around a few ideas. I do want to say I want to go on a cruise. I don't know if it's going to be 2025.
Okay.
But it's coming soon enough.
Okay. I like that. Maybe if you wait, man, wait till fall. Because I'll happily do a little adventure with you if we can make it happen. Okay, that sounds fun. Goal for me is the Champions League final. I'm going to need help finding out how to make that happen. No idea what I'm doing. Don't know how to get tickets. But that's definitely a goal of mine after completing our adventure around the States. It'd be a nice cap off. So, and then, hell, man, season 4 Hooligans Pitch, maybe we can do it in person, you know?
That'd be great.
That'd be fun. That'd be really fun. All right, Chad, it's bedtime. I got to go to Nashville tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and Happy New Year to you and everyone listening, watching. Yeah.
Thank you. Support us till the end, and we go again. I'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
See you next year, Hooligans Pitch.
See you next year. Peace.